had a couple of bumps in the road with sicknesses and illnesses. And then, of course, my oldest comes around after. After I, you know, letting the church know what's going on as far as us not meeting, just taking precautions, he comes around. So he seems to be in better spirit. He's wearing a mask around the house. So I said, well, I appreciate that. But, I mean, you know, he keeps himself isolated and quarantined. So, but encouraged about that. But we're all doing good over here, and I hope everybody else is doing well. We're going to be over in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. We will start Exodus next week because I want to start that in person when we're face to face. But we're going to do Matthew this week here. The Gospel of Matthew, over in chapter 7 this morning. Got a question for you. When is Jesus' lordship convenient for you? Think about that. When is Jesus' lordship convenient for you? And it's kind of like, you know, like kids raising up, you know, with their parents and stuff. Because you think about it, a child, when he looks at a parent is convenient only, I guess I should say, a parent's involvement is only convenient every once in a while. As our child grows older, they begin to want the parent to be lesser and lesser involved. Especially when they're trying to look cool. And mom and dad, you're just old, you're just out of date. And therefore, we feel like you being around as a parent is no longer convenient. But if it's something that I need, it's something that I want, now I need you as a parent in my life. You know, lordship with Jesus like that can be that way sometimes for us. We can feel like, you know what, I don't need Jesus' lordship right now because I know better. Because I know what's best for me. Or I can decide when I want to be obedient to his lordship and when I do not want to be obedient to his lordship. We're like that. We want things to be done on our terms. We want things to be done on our time. We want things to be done our way. But it doesn't work like that in the kingdom. And also in the kingdom, we feel like if we do A, B, C, D, Jesus should recognize that, hey, I am a faithful disciple. Or if I sacrifice so much for the kingdom, Jesus should recognize that I am a disciple. But Jesus doesn't see it that way, nor did God. You know, during the day when he walked earth, just in human flesh, people followed him everywhere. People gave Jesus their word for everything. But we all know in the end, when it came right down to it, when Jesus departed back to heaven, there was only 123 members left. 123 people. Out of all the 5,000 he fed, out of all the 4,000 Gentiles he fed, there was only 123 faithful people. And Jesus always challenged those who followed him along the way. He challenged them constantly about, you really need to be committed. You really need to dig deeper. You really need to really get more involved in this relationship with me and following me. And over here in Matthew, where we're going to pick up here in Matthew chapter 7, and talking in verse 21, this scripture is so true about true and false disciples. And I think a lot of us have fallen and per se, we fitted into these categories before, and we see people today still fit in the category. But picking up in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, would enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He says, many will say to me, on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Jesus said, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Wow. That is something hard to swallow. You think, wait a minute now, and I'm prophesizing your name. I've driven out demons and I've done miracles. Does that not qualify me as a disciple of Jesus? If I'm not recognized or observing your lordship, we think that. For us today, we think, hey, I go to church. I show up in person with a group. Does that make me more of a disciple than anybody else? Hey, I'm there for midweek. Hey, I serve in hope. Guess what? I serve the community. I help people. I sit with people. I read with people. I pray with people. I've got to be a true disciple. But But Jesus points out, Jesus says, here's where a true disciple comes in that. And here's where a true disciple recognizes Lordship. He says, those who do the will of his Father. That's what we got to realize. Those who do the will of his Father. Like a child and a parent, a child can do a lot of great things. But unless a child does the will of what his parents wants done, a lot of that stuff will go unrecognized. A lot of that stuff will be unimportant. You know, it's kind of like asking a child to take out the trash. And the child will do everything else to clean the house up, but I guarantee you the parent will come by and point out, why didn't you take out the trash? And the child will try to explain, but I did this. I cleaned up my room. I vacuumed the floor. I did this. But the question comes back is, why didn't you take out the trash? This is what my request was for you. This is what I said. A lot of times we think, well, Lord, I participated. I'm a flanker. I shared communion. I did the contribution. I was usher. I handled all that stuff. And God said, it's great. But still, you neglect this one thing here. And a lot of times I think that we believe that as long as I'm doing everything else, God should be happy. God should be content with what I've done. But Jesus says that is not so. Jesus says, doing the will of God, what God is asking you to do, that is more important than you going off on your own and doing what you believe is right, what God wants you to do. But in order to do the will of God, you have to ask yourself, man, when is Jesus' Lordship convenient for me? When is it convenient for me? When does it work for me? I read something that says we cannot be a lip service disciple. And he says there are many of us out there. He says there are Christians all over the world giving lip service, but none of them are doing the will of the Father. One of the researchers on this thing, when I looked up, I was looking at a documentary about New Testament, just understanding that the people of that day, they were notorious for following Jesus around. They loved the healing. Who does not love to be healed? They could not wait until Jesus performed his next miracle. For the interest in Jesus was not genuine. It was all about what can Jesus do for me. And so when challenging times came along, or when it got a little tough, or it got a little uncomfortable, nobody wanted to follow Jesus. They could care less about his lordship. All they cared about was the next miracle. What can I do? When I thought about this, and it says, you know, they said, look, Lord, we did this, we did prophecy, we drove out demons. How many of you remember about Simon the sorceress? It talks about over there in Acts. And it talks about how Peter, and they came, they were called down, And they started baptizing people, and they laid their hands on the people so that they would see the Holy Spirit. Simon, who was a sorcerer, before they came down, was used to having people following him around because he did all these great little magician tricks and everything. And when he seen Peter them do this, the first thing he said, I will pay you money if you can give me the power to get people the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, away from me, you even do. You have no part in the kingdom of God. And I thought, we can be like this in time. We can see all the great miracles in the kingdom. We can see people doing all great things in the kingdom. And we're like, we want that. And sometime we will abandon our righteous morals to get a hold of that. We'll do whatever we can do, even if it means being evil. So we can say that I can do that same thing. Jesus warns us, Jesus loves. It's not about driving out demons. It's not about the miracles. It's not about the prophecy. It's simply about obeying God. Staying within his will. Then you will have the right to call me Lord, Lord. He goes on further to say, you're going to be builders. And you want to build your Christian life in the right way. Pick it up in verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house.
had its foundation on the rock.
How deep are you really digging in the scriptures to solidify yourself as a disciple of Christ? How deep are you really going? Are you really digging deep to get to the source of your strength? Are you really going deep in the Word? When I read this, I thought about the midweek lesson we talked about. You know, when storms come along, do they rattle you? You know, do they really just rattle you up and storm that day? Jesus gives this example here, and he's like, look, he says, I'm going to show you a wise man who really digs really deep and really builds his Christian life, his walk on the rock, which is Jesus. I'm going to tell you about this guy. He says, so when the wind comes, the rain comes, he said, all this stuff comes with the flood come. He said, guess what? This individual would not be rattled. He says, simply because they took the time to dig deep in the Word of God. They took time to have great prayer time with God. They took time to really invest deeply in their walk with God. He points this out as an encouragement of what it means to be a disciple and walk with God. But in verse 26, it says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When is Jesus' lordship convenient for you? That's what we have to think about. When is it really convenient for you? Jesus says his lordship needs to be in place at all times. But the only way that can be is if you are truly digging deep down to build your Christian walk on the rock, which is Jesus, which is a solid foundation. 2021 is gone. 2022 is here. And I tell you, every year, we always start out, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something better. But the one thing that God is consistently about is saying, you just need to continue to dig deeper and deeper into the Word. You need to continue to build a stronger and stronger relationship with me. God is consistent from year to year. Never changes. Never changes. That is the one thing that I noticed when I thought about. You know, when I was younger, what was my New Year's resolution? Oh, what I'm going to do different. How I'm going to do different. But I thought, the Bible has been consistent year after year. God has been consistent year after year. He has not changed. He does not change. But we as his people, we can tend to change depending on what we're feeling today versus what we're feeling tomorrow. But God said for the true believer, the true disciple, they're going to dig deep. They're going to be wise. They're going to be. So what are you going to do in 2022? What's your game plan? Are you going to be like the wise man? Are you going to continue to build on the rock, which is Christ? Or are you going to be like the foolish man? And be like, I get by as long as I go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm good. And when we can't have church in person, I do Zoom, I'm good. I might not come to church no more. Hey, I just do Zoom, I'm good. I'll be at midweek. I show up at a few events. Who are you going to be? Who are you going to be? Jesus says, just because you do all these different things, it doesn't mean that he's Lord of your life. Anybody can drive demons out. God can give anybody the ability to do miracles. God can give any man or woman the ability to prophesy. It's been shown in Scripture. But he's looking for the committed soul. He's looking for the man and the woman who will commit to him with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their soul. You know, back then, everybody that followed Jesus was not committed. Today, every man and woman who follows Jesus, no matter if they're in our church or somewhere else, they're not committed. They may show up, you see them face to face, and they can put on the facade, but everybody's not committed. And all this will be exposed sooner than we think. People will be revealed for who they are. We live in t- times of testing, trying times. We live in times that are uncertain, but it's not new to us. Jesus told us, as time goes on, it will get worse. But who will you look like as times get worse? We're in a pandemic era. We're going to be in a pandemic era forever. I'm just waiting for the next pandemic to reveal itself. But when it reveals itself, who will you look like? What would your heart show about you to others? Will you look like a person who's steadfast, stands firm? Will you look like a disciple who's like, man, they have really been building their life on the rock Jesus? Or will you like the person who just be rattled, just fizzle out, it's like, oh God, this is too much. Who will you look like? God is watching. Jesus is watching. He watches all of us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. He allows us to discuss those things with ourselves. He allows us to discuss those things with him. He allows us to discuss those things with other people. And the point of that being is, he wants us to work through it and reflect on the fact that, you know what? No matter what comes, Jesus is still Lord. This year, we may not see it, but God has made it clear that a lot of disciples will fall away this year. This year, God has made it clear that a lot of people will become disciples this year and be a strong force to be reckoned with in the kingdom of God. God has made it clear that he would expose all fraud and all people who are fake when it comes to following him. Anybody can say, Lord, Lord, but not anybody can recognize Jesus as Lord. So guys, as we go forward into 2022, let's ask ourselves always, when is it convenient for Jesus to be Lord of our life? Is it only when we need him? Is it only in the good times when Jesus can do stuff for us? Or will it always be every day, every minute, and every hour of our life? Without Jesus, guys, we are lost in 2022. Without Jesus, we are lost no matter how many more years we have to live. Let's not be like the foolish builder. Instead, let's be like wise men and women and build on Jesus. And let's not think any accolades that we can do or any things that God allows us to be a part of is the reason why Jesus should accept us in the kingdom. But instead, let's do the will of his Father and recognize Jesus as Lord. Thank you guys so much for listening.